Good morning, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that. I think Daniel did a tremendous job, all things considered. I love those two songs, love the way he sings them. I hope that was something really special for you guys. And we would be silly not to mention Jordan, who's behind the scenes. And I'm looking at him right now, and he's been working like crazy. So we're so thankful to have his ability and skill to make this happen. What I'd like to do is, and I hope you see me, I got my Easter color going. I'm kind of just, you know, Easter's not that far off. So I just wanted to keep you mindful of that as I pulled this one out of the closet for you. But really, what I'd like to start this morning is I want to just pause and quietly, as you're gathered, let's just quietly give our lives, or I should say give this time over to, give our lives over to Christ, but give this time over to Him to where we're focused and really desiring our hearts to be open, our minds to be open to what He has to say. So I'm just going to allow you to help quietly do that to yourself, or however you're going to do that for yourself, and then I'll pray for us. Father, what a day it will be when all the earth proclaims your glory and goodness, when all the brokenness, when all the pain, when all the fear, and all the sickness is done and death is conquered forever. And Father, I pray this morning that as we open up your word, that you would speak through me into the hearts and lives of everyone that's listening. God, I pray that you would do it in such a way that you alone would receive the glory, that we would be encouraged and built up for the situation that we're facing, the challenge that's in front of us. And I pray that you would bless all who are present, and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in week two. And I'm missing you. I'm just going to tell you that flat out. Looking into a camera is not anything next to or compared with when I can look out and see faces and know how you're doing. So it's just, this is challenging. And I know it's challenging for you too as well, to be kind of isolated like we are. And you know, we need to continue to hope and pray that this virus will peak soon and that we can once again continue to meet again in person. But for the time being, I'm thankful to God for this technology. I really, really am. This morning, we're going to talk about turning the tables on this virus. Now, when you hear the expression turning the tables, I'm guessing that you kind of understand that that is really what that means is when you take something that's bad, that's threatening, and you turn it around and bring something good out of it. I'm curious what comes to mind when you think about that. There's plenty of examples of it. I was thinking of Adele. I'm going to throw that one out at you. A wonderful singer out of the UK, and her 2011 album, Adele 21, believe it or not, is the greatest selling album in the 21st century. Over 31 million copies sold. And that album came out of a painful breakup of a relationship. And so she turned that bad into something amazing, actually. I was also thinking of the three movies now of Taken. And if you're familiar with that movie, this is a situation where a kidnapper, the hunter, becomes the hunted by the father of the one that, or his daughter was kidnapped by the kidnapper. And Liam Neeson, he kind of turns the tables on the bad guy, and he becomes the hunter and hunts down. And I think any dad who has a daughter can kind of connect and relate with that. Well, this morning what I want to do is I want us to take this virus that we're in the midst of, and I want to turn the tables on the virus. I want to bring good out of it and make sure that we see good come out of it, because I believe that's God's intention. And I hope to convince you of that as we go along. Certainly there's plenty of bad related to this virus, right? There's the fear that we see in the hoarding and the doomsaying. I mean, there's the closures, there's the cancellations, there's the layoffs, there's the isolation, there's the social distancing. I mean, we really have sacrificed a lot up to this point. As a matter of fact, I found this amusing tweet from Andy Crouch. He's a Christian author and speaker, and he said this. He said, honestly, I hadn't planned on giving up quite this much for Lent. Can you relate to that? I think I can relate to that. But we want to turn that bad into something good. And I want to talk about a good today that is going to, I hope and pray, help us to really see and leverage and use this time for all that God wants for it and intends for it to be in our lives for good. Now, certainly, I think we all can say, if nothing else, this isolation is bringing us together closer as a family. A lot of family time going on, right? Well, there's something even better than that that I want to talk about this morning. And to do that, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to your table of contents. We're going to get to the New Testament. You'll see you have an Old Testament and a New Testament. I want you to find the book of Luke. It's the third book down of your New Testament. I want you to turn to the book of Luke. You'll be at chapter 1. We're going to look at chapter 6. We're going to look at a very familiar parable. And parables were ways in which Jesus was able to teach a spiritual lesson with spiritual meaning, taking kind of the normal everyday that they were accustomed and turning it into a spiritual truth. And this is probably a very familiar one to those of you, even if you're not a follower of Christ, if you haven't been around church much, you've probably heard this in some way. So Luke chapter 6, I want to begin reading in verse 46. So follow along with me if you would. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the river crashed against the house and couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The river crashed against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of that house was great." So we have here a story, a parable. It involves two builders and two different types of foundations. And in the first foundation, the first builder, we see that he builds his house on a rock. Now let's kind of understand what is behind each one of these true life things that have spiritual meaning. When he says the house, when you see house, he's talking about your life, your identity, and your security. What do you think about yourself? How would you describe yourself? How do you feel about yourself, your identity, and then your security, your happiness, your contentment, and the peace in your life? And Jesus is saying that the one who builds his life, his identity, and his security on the rock, and the rock in this case is Christ. It's not just Jesus Christ. It's actually listening to, hearing what he says, and then going out and doing it out of trust and faith in him. And that's the rock. And the flood, the river that crashed, that's the trial. That is suffering through something that's really difficult. And so in the first case, we see where we are told that the builder who withstood the trial, the challenge, did so because he listened to what Jesus had to say and he acted upon it. Now, I want to share with you lots of things I could share with you about what Jesus had to say about life. But let me give you just a few of them. In Luke chapter 8, verse number 14, listen to what Jesus says. He's in the middle of another parable. He's talking about seed that's being scattered, and it falls on different types of soils. And in particular, in verse 14, he speaks of a soil that has thorns in it, and the seed falls on it. In verse 14, he says, "As for the seed that fell among the thorns, these are the ones who, when they have heard, go on their way and are choked with worries, riches, and pleasures of life, and produce no mature fruit." And then in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus says this. He told them, "Watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions." And then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." What are all these things? The things that we need in this life. And so I pulled those three verses out because they speak to how Jesus would see life. And he would say, build your life, build your identity, build your security not on the things of this world, but build them on Christ. Build them on your trust in me and what I have done for you. Now, we then move on to the second foundation, to the second builder, having seen the first one where his foundation is not going to be shaken when trial comes. And let me just say this too. That is a promise that actually carries on all into eternity. Because you might be thinking, well, that promise, I've seen people in my life who have built their foundation on Christ, whose lives struggled and maybe ended prematurely. Well, rest assured that this is a promise that stretches all the way out into eternity, and ultimately in the face and standing before God on the day of judgment, that person who built his life on Christ will be able to and not be shaken by the judgment of God. And now we move to the next builder, whose foundation he builds, if you notice, it's on ground. Now in Matthew chapter 7, the same parable is reported by Matthew, and it's talked about the house built on sand. And that makes sense, right? They're in the Middle East, they're building houses, and it's on sand. And a lot of that sand, because it was so arid and dry, it was packed, and you could build a house on it, but it didn't take much for that to become loose. And Jesus is saying that the man who hears what Christ has to say, but he does not act upon it. He goes, he's like the man who builds his house on the ground, on the sand. Now, what does that mean? What does that equate to? Well, that means that anything other than Christ, that can mean your wealth, your health, your education, your willpower, your accomplishments, those kinds of things. When your life, when your identity, and when your security rests on those things, and mine were to rest on those things, they're unstable. And what we have to accept is, just like when Jesus said that we are to build upon him and his words and obey them and act upon them. Well, these things like wealth and health and education and our job and those kind of things, they have demands on us. And we obey them. I mean, take your health, for example. If your health becomes what you're building your life upon, and you being healthy is the foundation upon which life rests, well, you're under the demands of exercise and eating the right foods and getting the right amount of sleep. So you are submitting to them as well. And in the end, the result of it is, notice that it says that when your life is built upon these unstable things, it says that there is destruction. That eventually happens. Now, what I want to do is I want to take that parable, that teaching, and I want to apply it now to the situation that we're facing with the virus. And what I'd like for you to do is I want you to think of the virus as that flood, as that raging river that's kind of crashing into our lives. And I want you to understand that God is using that flood. He wants to turn the tables, the virus. He wants to turn the tables on that virus in such a way that we, and for our good, see what kind of foundation our lives are built upon, and how are we holding up as this virus continues to grow. This is a challenging time, and God wants to turn the tables on this virus by using it for our good. And he wants to use it for our good to test the strength of what we are basing our lives upon. Is it the ground? Is it sand? Is it that which is unstable? Or is it the rock that can withstand and will not be shaken? And we have to understand that shaken means destruction, because these are two foundations that are juxtaposed against each other. And if the one that's built on sand and ground that can crumble leads to destruction, well, then the opposite is so for the one that's built on the rock, and that means it will not be destroyed. That means we'll be shaken in a sense, right? And I'll address that just a little bit more. But we've got to understand that this virus, think about it for a minute, as I'm sure you've been thinking about it a lot. This virus is global. It's invisible, and it's destructive. It shows no respecter of persons. It infects the wealthy, the poor. It infects the healthy and the compromised. It infects the educated and the uneducated. It infects the strong. It infects the weak. There's no respecter of persons here. And we don't know when this is going to end. And it's impacting our lives in all kinds of ways. And we don't know when it's going to end. I mean, this, my friends, is quite a test. And to the person whose life is built on the unstableness of the ground or the sand, in other words, if your life is built upon, founded upon your wealth, your health, your education, your accomplishments, or your willpower, those kinds of things. Well, then I imagine what's settled in at this point has been fear and panic. As you continue to have to make more and more cutbacks and restrictions in your life, as you're probably in tune to the statistics that keep coming, as Governor Inslee keeps having to address us and keeps drawing a line tighter and tighter that ultimately, you know, we're in our homes. I'm guessing that fear and panic come in. What was once concern to you probably has now given way. You're fully consumed by this. And that's what happens when we have our lives built upon something other than Christ. I mean, if fear and panic is a part of your life right now, if you're not merely concerned, but you're consumed by this, look down, look underneath what you're resting your full weight of your life on. Is it Christ? I would suspect that it's not. And so God is using this virus. He wants you to see and experience the fragility of that kind of foundation in your life in hopes that you'll come to your senses, in hopes that you will turn your life over to the rock, to that personal relationship with Christ. And so God wants to use it, like I said, for the good. He's turned the tables on it. Now, what about the life that's built on the rock, on the foundation of Christ? What I want you to notice in this account is that the crashing river and the rain are present in both scenarios. This virus is impacting all people, whether they build their foundation of their lives upon their wealth and their health and their education and their accomplishments, or if they build it upon Christ. There still is trial and challenge. But what you'll find in the life of a follower of Christ is there is concern, and there should be concern, but they're not consumed by it. And concern is good, right? We take the necessary precautions. I would encourage everyone out there, if I have this chance right now, please show the necessary precautions, right? The social distancing, that's really important. Washing your hands regularly, that's really important. Take the precautions. Show concern. I think that's just a wise thing to do. But what you'll find is in the life of a follower of Christ, they're not consumed by it. There's not a fear. There's not a panic. What there is there's trust. They trust in God's plan. They may not understand it, but they trust in God's plan. And out of that trust comes peace. And this is the thing that I hope and pray for us as Christ followers that other people see. Because it gives us a chance to explain, where does that peace come from? It comes from Christ. It's not anything in me. I've not done anything to merit that. I'm not any braver than the next person. I just know that God raised a dead man, and God has raised in me new life, and I can trust Him with my life. If He's given up His Son, I can trust Him, and I'm not going to let this virus make me fearful. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to do that. So my question is, do you want that? Do you want to turn the tables on this virus and not hunker down and be fearful and not be consumed by it, not be angry about it? Not worry, when is this going to end? Because we really don't know. We don't know when it's going to end. Do you want the strength to stand on the rock of Christ, to trust Him with how He's going to use this to turn the tables in your life and in my life? Because if you do, I want to kind of finish this message by just describing for you how do you build a life that will not be shaken? How do you build a life on Christ, on the rock itself? Well, going back to what he said in Luke chapter 6, notice what he says in verse 46. This is really important because we tend to hear this parable and we focus on the foundations, as I've just described. But he says in verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say?" We've got to understand this parable is more than merely believing what Jesus said. It's more than merely hearing what Jesus said. What he's saying is he is addressing the disconnect between those who heard what he said but were not acting upon what he said, And that is really important. We need to recognize that this is more than just merely believing and hearing, that your actions, my actions, are going to reveal. They're going to reveal which foundation that our lives are built upon. If we act on the words of Christ, we'll find stability. We will not be shaken. If we hear merely the words of God or the words of Christ and we do not act upon them, well, then expect this virus to create a lot of fear and panic and anxiety and stress in your life. That, as Christ says, will in some ways collapse in on you at some point where there'll be destruction in some way. And you don't want that. I don't want that for you or for anybody. And so to build our life on the rock, on Christ, what has to happen in your life, what needs to take front and center, what needs to become the hub of your life, not a spoke, not one piece of who you are, but the essence of who you are, it's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's his life and it's his message. And what it is, it's believing and it's feeling and it's acting in light of the gospel, in light of what Christ has done, in light of what Christ has taught and what he says, and acting upon that. So it begins with belief. And what we have to realize is the gospel, Jesus turned the tables on Satan on the cross. Think about this. Back when Christ was walking the earth in his earthly ministry and people were following him and he was doing these amazing things and he was teaching profoundly, people were drawn to that. They gave up what they were doing to follow him, only to see it end with him being tried, convicted wrongly, and crucified. Imagine if you were in that collection of people, and this is the person you were telling others about. This is the person that you'd given up for a time being your vocation. You're just going to follow him. And then you have to see him crucified on a cross. I mean, that would look like defeat to me, and I suspect it looked like defeat to everybody there. But what we didn't understand is it was victory in the making. You see, Jesus had to die so that God would accept his death on our behalf, because Jesus lived a perfect life. We haven't. We deserve to die. Jesus didn't. But he willfully, willingly took upon himself your brokenness, your sin, mine. And he was crucified. And God's judgment was directed upon him. He absorbed the entire amount of God's judgment. And he died. But then he was raised 3 days later. And there, my friends, is the turning of the tables. That changes everything. That's why we still today celebrate and worship and follow Jesus Christ, because he is alive today. He's not a martyr. He wasn't merely a good teacher, a humanitarian, a compassionate person. He was the Lord. And he came back from the dead, and he lives and rules and reigns now. And everywhere that followers of Christ live their lives built on the foundation of Christ, the kingdom of God is present. Where there is no fear, there's no panic. There's trust and there's peace. And so to have that, you got to believe the gospel. You have to start every day believing your identity in Christ. You are an image bearer of God, that God loved you so much so that he gave up his son to die for you. You've got to start every day telling yourself that's who you are. That is your identity, my friend. It's important that every morning and that we get up, that we believe that we have a need for a Savior, that we cannot do life in and of itself. I heard someone say recently that they got out of bed every morning and the first thing they say is, God, I cannot do today. I can't do it. I don't have the power to do it. I don't have the strength to do it. Will you please give me the power and strength to live my life for you? And I've tried to start doing that. And I think it's just a good reminder for us to realize that we need a Savior. We were forgiven our sins, and the sins that we commit today, we realize those have been forgiven as well. And we need to think about them and confess them and thank God that we're right because of what Christ has done, so those are not held against us. So that's believing. Then we need to feel. We need to allow ourselves some time to think about what Christ has done for us and to feel the love of God for us. He chose you. He pursued you. When you pushed him away, when you mocked him, when you made fun of people that he loved, his followers, he didn't give up on that. He didn't give up on you. He didn't give up on me. Got to let that love come around and surround your heart and feel that. Because believing the right things leads to feeling the right things, which then leads to action. And our action is that we surrender. We surrender our will over to Christ. We become followers of Christ. And we've got to do this every day, work through our minds, the right beliefs, so that they produce the right feelings in us that then lead to the right responses and actions. Secondly, if we really want to build on the rock, and this is not going to surprise you, we need to regularly connect with Jesus Christ in the Word of God, in this book right here. We started this year with a goal of reading 10 minutes, at least 10 minutes, for 5 days a week. My friends, I think there is no more excuses. You have the time to do this. And more than likely are going to get more time as the days come roll forward. This is how we connect. This is how the Spirit of God that's inside the life of a follower of Christ is fed the truth of God's Word, and it gives you the strength to continue to build on the rock of Christ, to build the foundation that can withstand the trials of which we are in one. Maybe for some of you, maybe for all of us, it might be the greatest trial that we face collectively, and we're still watching it emerge and unfold. And did I say anything about acting? Was it important to act on Jesus' words? I mean, that's what this parable ultimately is saying, right? It's saying that those who acted upon what Christ taught and said, they had the foundation that withstood the trial, the challenge, the testing. They weren't shaken. But those who heard but then walked away and didn't do anything. So acting on what Jesus' words say, very important. And for that, I appeal to the church. And I ask you, please, this is the time. There's no greater time than now. We've got to be the church. We're aiming to know Jesus and make him known, right? The A is we're going to activate our faith. We're going to impact our world, and we're going to multiply disciples, followers of Christ. This is an incredible time to do it. I realize now that the mission hasn't changed, but I realize the methods have temporarily, right? But leverage the methods that are available to you now. Use social media. Not politically, not to complain and talk about government conspiracies. Share your story. I saw someone in our church just recently do that. I was so happy for her, so thankful. That's what we need to do. We need to be the voice now as people are they're open to it. They're wondering when is this going to end and what does this mean? And we have the answer, not because we're smarter. We don't have the answer because we're better. We have the answer because we were fallen and we were broken and we finally realized it. And we saw what Jesus did for us. And why would we not pass that on? Easter's coming. It's going to be a lot different. But please invite people to the live stream service on Easter. Invite them to next Sundays. But do what you can to be the church. Pray. We need to pray. Again, we have all the time now to be in prayer that God will use as he's turning the tables on this virus, that God will use that powerfully in the lives of people who right now are afraid, they're panicking, they're consumed by this virus. And we have an opportunity, a chance. We might be able to, the church could come out of this historically better. Mark it in time. Something happened. The church responded. I hope and pray that that will indeed be the case. So my challenge for you this week is for those of you who are not connected in a small group, we're doing those virtually now, I would encourage you, please get involved. On that virtual connect card, there was a place for you. Melinda is going to gather those of you who are not in small groups. She's going to gather the names together, and she is going to find a leader to lead that small group virtually. It's just so important that we stay connected. So please do that. If you're in a small group, please utilize and leverage the technology we have available to stay connected. I did it with my guys this past week. It wasn't the same as being present, but we all thought it's better than not doing anything at all. And I'm thankful because I really enjoy connecting with them. And then secondly, I want to give you some questions like I did last week. And without, don't panic, okay? These are going to be on our Facebook post, so I'm going to read them. And they'll be up on the screen here afterwards, after we finish this live stream, if you want to write them down as well, too. But I want you to discuss these questions, to reflect on them, and to discuss them with somebody. If that's virtually with your small group, great. If it's with someone in your family, awesome. If it's just between you and God, that'll work too. But here's the questions I'd like you to consider. Question one is, what would you say is the foundation of your identity and your security? Second question, what has the virus shown you about yourself? Third question, and it's a three-parter. Are you concerned or consumed about the virus? What is the most concerning or consuming aspect of the virus? And then thirdly, how are you dealing with your concerns or consuming thoughts? Question four, what belief about Jesus needs to be stronger in your life? And the last question, what disconnection between beliefs and actions do you need to work on? So those are some questions to reflect on, to discuss, certainly to answer, and then act upon. For that is where you'll find the stability to stand on the rock, to withstand whatever this virus has and whatever's out there with trust and peace. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord God. I thank you for this virus, that you are using it in a powerful way to awaken in us a realization that our lives are built on something. If they're not built on you, then we need to know that. And this test that you give us, Lord God, it's not so that you'll figure out where we are. You know that. It's for us to figure out where we are, and we need to know that. And for that reason, I'm thankful for the virus. I'm not thankful for the challenge, the difficulty, the burdens, the deaths. God, but your word tells us that we're to consider with joy the trials that come before us, the good that can come out of them. And I pray, Lord God, that we will not waste this opportunity for one moment. And I pray your blessing over our church. I pray your blessing over all the churches that are lifting up the name of Christ, that we would become a powerful force in the world for good and the glory of your name. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to do now is give you a chance for the offering. And Jordan explained that earlier in this live stream. Let me just remind you that if you want to give electronically and not us incur a fee, then you can do that by way of having a direct transfer out of your account into our account, and we can give you that information. You're welcome to mail and bring the checks up. And let me just say, this past week, thank you. Thank you for mailing in your giving. Thank you for coming by and dropping by. It's a real encouragement, and I really, really appreciate it. So I'm going to turn you out over to that and then the questions, and I hope and pray that you have a wonderful day. God bless. You'll see me next Sunday. Peace.